Everybody, happy new week. I hope you're doing amazing. We're all back after school holidays. Well, I am. My life revolves around school holidays. But this morning, I haven't been done an interview for a month. I have the amazing Katrina Langhorne joining us from Sydney. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, everyone.
I'm very excited to get back into the flow of things, and what a perfect topic to start the interview series back up again. Your book, The Challenge Journal, just recently hot off the press. So congratulations, first of all. There it is. Wow, amazing. Yeah. It looks amazing. So let me give the official introduction as to who you are, and then we'll get stuck into the awesome content that we're going to share with everyone today. So Katrina Langhorne, guys, is a registered psychologist, qualified teacher, and a business coach. For over 20 years, she has worked in private practice, helping thousands of patients. During that time, Katrina has also worked across many different settings, including schools, hospitals, and correctional facilities. Katrina has worked with several organizations, including Youth Off the Streets and Disability Services Australia. She has volunteered for Lifeline's 24-hour crisis support and suicide prevention hotline. Katrina mentors and supervises provisional psychology interns and university students. Today, she travels across Australia facilitating workshops and presenting strategies from the Challenge Journal. Katrina was invited to speak to the United Services Union, has been regular facilitator for over a decade with positive partnerships, and over the last few years for the Business Bricks Empowerment Series. Wonderful. Wow. All right. So let's get stuck into this, Katrina. I mean, you've got there behind you, as we can see. You told me as we logged on, this is how I plan my book and all that sort of stuff. Tell us about what's in the background so people can understand.
So I created a room, and I call it my operations room. And it was when I really got serious with your team to start writing this book and get it published. So I have a whole wall here of all of the things that I needed to do and when, because I think you guys are really structured, which was really good because it kept me on track. And then on this side, I have my branding poster that goes with me everywhere now.
Amazing, amazing. And so tell us a bit more about the Challenge Journal. Actually, before we get stuck inside what's in it and what would people get from it, how long had you wanted to write this book?
So almost 20 years ago, I penned the very first Challenge Journal, and I would then give it to my patients and they would be able to take it home with them, write in it, do their homework, bring it back into the next session. And then I think I went through two editions in that time, but it was only recently that I actually got serious about publishing it. And now this is what I have today, the Challenge Journal. So it's been a long journey, but I think I've been fairly serious in doing it since I got involved with you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah. So originally it was just something you would print off at home and give it to people and or at Office Works, whatever it is. And now it's like a properly published book. So within it, people have space where they can do work.
Yeah. Yeah. So within each chapter, what I've done is I've created a little bit of a journal as well. So when they read the chapter, it then prompts them to ask those questions to themselves and try and journal it. And there's a reason for it, because journaling is narrative therapy as well. So it is an interactive book, and I can explain a little bit more as we go on.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, let's get into it. You know, what is it about? Who is it ideal for? Because it is the 12 proven steps, you know, to improve your mental health. Tell me a little bit more of, you know, who are the people that are ideal, you know, the types of people you've been working with, and what's in it? Tell us a bit more.
So really what it's about is looking after your mental health. And the 12 chapters are the 12 most common things that I found myself doing day in and day out with my clients, with my patients over and over and over again. And so what I thought is, if I put it in writing, then these are the common things that we fall into. These are some of the traps that we fall into. And there's some simple strategies that we all can use just to make sure that we look after our health, our mental health, just as well as we look after our physical health.
Yeah, amazing and so important. So would you say like every human being could benefit from this book? It's not those that are absolutely aware I've got mental health problems.
So that is where I really tried to write it from. I tried to write it so if a parent is worried about a child, like if the child is seemingly overly anxious, then what could mum or dad or parent carer, grandparent, could they pick that book up, go to that chapter and sort of have a bit more of an understanding of what they can do to help? I work with a lot of teachers in schools, and they may have a student in the class that they're worried about. So I really wrote the book not just for the person that wants to help their own mental health, but also for other people who might be supporting people. And I have a lot of psychologists that I train. They go through a fairly rigorous university program, and then they have to go through an internship as well. And during that internship, I found that if I could give them these sort of 12 chapters, they then could run with it and start to give their own clients the homework. They get practice, but their clients are also getting the therapeutic sort of chapters that they need as well. So I really wrote it to try and encompass everybody. I made the print quite large. I made it very interactive, and I will be putting it on Audible for those people who have reading sort of difficulties.
That's awesome. Amazing. And so let's talk about maybe a few of those 12 proven steps, because we all from time to time could struggle with our mental health, right? We've been through a lot over the last few years, and people just naturally sometimes more, some people are more prone to having these challenges. So what would you say are the top three mental health like roadblocks that have you have seen come into your
So
into your
the top three sort of take homes, the easy take homes that I thought people could take away with them. Number one is to work at being more assertive. And the first chapter really looks at communication and the people that are assertive, and I've got some of the statistics in there as well, that show that people who are assertive get their needs met. And they're quite confident and they're quite content. And then there are other types of people that tend to be more passive, and there are other tend to be more aggressive. And those two areas don't really seem to get their needs met as well as the assertive. So my kids call me the dragon lady. So I've put some little picture illustrations in there. And it's to show how someone who's quite passive, who wants to be very giving, but also can be assertive. So they don't then end up giving, giving, giving until they dragon lady and they've had enough and they go all the way up to the other end. So my first take home is to learn to be a little bit more assertive. And there are three sort of steps in the book that you can simply practice on. And I say practice on your dog because your dog will love you regardless, unconditional love. So you practice on your dog before you go out there into the wide world and give it a go. And when you see that these three sort of sentences are really working for you and getting your needs met, then I think you'll be using them a lot more often.
What's one of the three? Give us one of the three.
So the very first one is to say I. So you start with I. And a lot of the times when we're cranky with someone, we start with you. And that just makes them very defensive. So you start with I and you say, I am, and then however you feel. And then number two, you might say, because of something that you have done. And then number three is to say what you need. I need you to do this or to do that. And look, they may then come back and say, well, look, you've done this and you've done that. But it's a way for you to get your needs across to other people without being passive and just sort of sucking it down until you can't suck it down anymore.
Yeah, I love them. They're so simple, right?
They're very simple, yes. And that's the whole book is there's a lot of stuff in there There's a lot of stuff that we do. The second really take home is that don't ruminate. And now we all ruminate, but a lot of people don't know what that is. And all it is when you're going around and around and around in your head with a problem, and you're not actually getting anywhere, you're just losing a lot of sleep. So I put a little story in there that I call the Blue Wren, and it's a way for me to explain to people about when they might be ruminating. And that ruminating really does statistically drop our mental health significantly. So it's about getting a pen and writing it down. Or if you're a techie person, you can write it in your phone. You must perform some sort of action to get it out of your head. Then you're not ruminating anymore. And there's another chapter in there on problem solving, and there are six steps. And if you can stop yourself from ruminating and do the six steps, put it into action, you'll solve a lot more of your problems, and the ruminating won't become this habit that it really gets quite entrenched. And by the time you're older, if you haven't sort of worked out ways to not ruminate, it can actually cause you a lot of mental health issues.
Did you get almost analysis paralysis in
Yes,
your
yes.
writing, rather than just taking steps, and some steps will work and stuff, some steps won't work, right?
That's the so the third chapter is the problem solving, and there is a get out of jail free card right at the end. Step six says, did it work? And if not, you just go back to step four. So you just continually, and these are evidence-based strategies. These are not things that I've just popped out of my head. These are the things that psychologists use to help people. So you do all the steps, get to step six, did it work? And if not, you just go back to step four. So you're continually in action mode. You're not in your head giving yourself a headache, ruminating.
Yeah, I love that. And I think some of us do it naturally, but other people don't. And as you say, you can build this negative
Yes.
habit of feeling stuck. And that's when people often say, I'm stuck in a rut, right?
Yes, and you're exactly right. So what we know is that people who suffer from depression, and also people that are very anxious, are very good ruminators. And so if you ruminate, you end up being in a depressive episode for longer. It will take you down there into that episode faster. So I really try hard to teach everybody I can, anyone who will listen, not to start ruminating, because it becomes a thought habit. It becomes something that we do, and the more we do more of it. And we know that it's not good for us. So my second take home is, do not ruminate. Put it into action, problem solve, write it down, do whatever you got to do, but don't ruminate.
I love it. I also learned this strategy when I started out my coaching 14 years ago, and I also have a psychology degree, not quite, just an undergraduate. But act before you feel was what they told us. You know,
Yes,
doing
yes.
action, generally the feeling is going to be a lot more. Even if you don't succeed, you feel a lot better. Like going to the gym this morning, I did not feel like I've just been kind of on holidays for almost 4 weeks. I did not feel getting up. I knew my diary was back to back, back to back, back to back. I just one action, make the bed, do the thing. And I've come home and I'm like pumped for the day and pumped for the week. Even though last night I was ruminating about, here we go. I gotta but once you start taking action, it just, the feelings follow really, really nicely. And you feel proud of yourself, right?
That's right. And that is again another chapter in the book. It's all about taking that action and doing those things to help combat that depression. There's another chapter in there on depression.
Yeah, I think stillness is a recipe for disaster, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. And you have one that you say we should change our shoulds to prefer.
Yes.
And I
Yes.
love languaging tweaks or hacks, because so what's the difference? Like, give me some examples about should.
So one of the chapters is on our reality thinking. It's on the things that we sort of say to ourselves in our head. And one of the common ones that is a bit of a trap, like rumination, that we fall into is that we say to ourselves, "Oh, you should have done that. You know, why didn't you do that? You should." And as soon as you hear that should appear in your head, then just change the should to prefer. So instead of saying, "I should have read chapter two already," you just change it to say, I would have preferred to have read chapter two already. However, I'm going to do it today instead. It just takes the pressure off. I call it being your own best friend. If you wouldn't say those sort of things to your best friend, then you shouldn't be saying them to yourself either. So just every time you hear that should word, just change it a little bit to prefer. And it just takes the pressure off. It's a little bit kinder. And you'll find that you can do those things if you say prefer, as opposed to just beating yourself up with the shoulds.
Yeah, it's almost like it feels like a final
Yes.
thing, like, it's just like it's like it's do or die kind of thing. There's the other
Yes.
one I prefer, or that's a really good way. I love like what we commonly tend to use, like even like saying, are you, or this also comes from some of my training, like in the past you'd say, us Aussies say, no problem, or no dramas or no worries, right? And we're sort of embedding those negative words. So I've trained myself to always reply, all good, my pleasure, so that I'm not saying those negatively geared words, which
Yes.
actually embed that into the person who's listening to you. There is obviously worries if you're saying no worries to me. So
I
the
love it. I love it. That's a perfect example. That is really, really good. And that's one of the chapters in the book, is just listening to some of those things that we do and just changing them just a little bit, and it can make big, big differences.
It does, because even people respond to you differently.
Yes.
When you say not my pleasure versus no worries,
Yes.
so much a more it's nicer to hear, and it's
More
like you.
positive. It's much more positive. And you come across as a very positive person. So, yeah, it definitely works.
Yeah, I love that. These are such simple things, but it does take, would you agree, it does take awareness and like really catching yourself.
The very first thing, and that's why I wrote the book, it's to be aware. Like, if you don't even know of the word ruminate, then you don't know if you do it or you don't do it. And you don't even know when you do it. So noticing these things, noticing how you speak to yourself, noticing how you speak to other people, all of those things, it takes noticing, but that's what I'm trying to do, is educate. That's what I'm trying to do with the book, is to educate people and then give them that interactive step.
That's beautiful. And one other one that I love is that if I say the wrong thing and I catch myself, I've learned from NLP, cancel, and then like do it again over the top of it. So tell me with the book, what are your intentions now you've properly published it, right? What does the future hold, and where is this going to go, and what do you hope to do with it?
Well, it's been quite popular, and I've had some charities that have contacted me, and they would like to run some events. So that I'm very I've already ran one of them. That was with the Blue Butterfly, and they're a sexual assault institute. And so I've already done some educational workshops with them, and there'll be some other ones as well. So watch this space. There will be some ones coming up very soon. I have a large launch organized for the 16th of May. I have already done the International Women's Day, so that was a big event. I really enjoyed writing. I really enjoyed this process. So I do want to write some more and probably take some of the chapters, but write more in depth for those people that really want to fine-tune. So anxiety or depression and schema. Schema is a very, very interesting one. I've been asked to do a personality workshop in a couple of weeks for a women's organization, and they want a workshop on personalities and how the team can work better together with all those. Like, we need all sorts of different personalities. So I'm looking forward to that one. And I'm also, what I really want to achieve at the end of it is to be able to offer an online therapy with some of these chapters, but instead of people having to come to me and spend 1 hour, I really want to do it online so people can access it from wherever they are and whenever they want to. So that will be my end goal, is to get some of these things really interactive. Like I do have some audios, so when people buy the book, they can click on and they can receive some of the audios already. And they're things like meditations or progressive muscle relaxation and things like that. But I really want to take it to that next step.
Well,
That's my goal.
you need to be at your next training, which is on the 1st of May. We're doing online program creation masterclass. So you block that out of your diary because you did our full program and you get lifetime access to these masterclasses, which is and I know you're writing more books because you're part of the Book Accelerator membership. So you've been a dream to work with. Like, I mean, I always find that people who are in psychology or mindset is one of their strengths. Is they turned out to be like the most I guess compliant and great students because they just do the work because they have the tools, because often it's our mindset and our self-doubt and fear that hold us back. It's not the how-to or the process, right? So it's been wonderful. So tell me a little bit about how did you find the process? I mean, you said you enjoyed it and you are writing more.
Look, I cannot say how much I the support was a very, very big thing. The expertise, there's so much information to learn. And the way that you've structured it, you just give us what we need at the time we need it, as opposed to overwhelm, because it can be a little bit like it's a big thing. But your team has been supportive. They encourage, even when I feel I know what I've got to do, then even the network that you've built around us, they have this encouraging. It has just been, it's been a dream. It really has made the difference to me becoming published. I think without you, without the team, and without the network, I don't think that I would have got to the publishing stage at this point in my life. So thank you.
Thank you for entrusting us with, all this work and, we're so proud of the product you've delivered and I can't wait to, read more of the future stuff that, and absolutely, like you said earlier, every chapter can become a book on its own pretty much. Because the more you start like kind of drilling down and just like what you just said, in our world, there was a lot. So is in your expertise, right? Because if someone really wants to become a master of, their own mind and stuff like that, you can't just read one book on it. You need to, keep sharpening the saw, as they say. And
Yep.
yeah, and that's why you should be writing more books because also the more books that you write, the more outreach and the more people's lives. I mean, your book does save lives, That's been one of the biggest, killers of late, isn't it? Mental health,
That's right. And it's like right now, it is. I thought things would get better, but things are actually getting worse. And that's why I think I got to a point where I thought I really need to write this book because I need to get some of these messages out there. I need to be able to help as many people as I could. And I could, there's only so many hours in the day that I can see clients. So I thought, right, that's it. I'll write the book and then I can get that message out there. And then I can look at writing the next one and the next one.
Yeah, and I can attest to that because I also see a lot of people that we help because a lot of the self-help mental health stuff is part of like our majority of the types of books that we would do. And similar to yourself, there's only one of you. There's only so many hours that you can consult. You guys have been overwhelmed by it. It's not like there's lack of clients to work with and help. It's just you need to leverage the information to reach more people. Otherwise, some people who can't afford the service. Who knows, they might take their own life, but if there's something cheaper like a book or an online course or whatever it is that they can access privately, maybe because they're also embarrassed to speak up, right? That's important. So
All of those things. That's precisely why it got to the point where I thought I have to write this book. It was no longer an option. It was something that I felt I really needed to do, and it's for all of the reasons that you said.
you're
Yep.
responsible. I know this information. And I often say, stop being selfish. Those that don't back themselves and write their books, I go, you're being selfish. You're holding this wisdom and information and shortcuts that that are simple to you and common sense to you, but you're not sharing them with the world.
Yes, precisely.
Same thing when I think of writing the 48 author book and doing this thing for the last 14 years and 10 years, the program. if I hadn't done that program, so many people would have struggled to bring out. So I feel the ripple starts, by me working with you, and then I feel like I have some kind of part in, saving lives as well. So it's really wonderful what you do, and keep doing it. And I can't wait to interview you on the next book when it comes out. But more importantly, let's share with the guys where they can get your book. So let me just pop quickly the cover on the screen, you guys, just so you can see it. Katrina's also got a copy there. But this is what the book looks like. It's quite interactive. It's got places you can journal, and as you heard, such little simple steps. And you had a couple of people here comment, "I'm loving these top tips here on the live." So that's the look of the book. And Katrina's got a little QR code. If you are watching this on video, that she's gonna put up on the screen right now. Let's put her in speaker view. So yes, there you go. Just hold it up there for a minute there, Katrina. Now this is a QR code that's gonna take you to a Stripe checkout. It hasn't quite gotten to the stage where it will be integrated into her website, but it will be, and I'll tell you the website name in a moment. That should be good there, Katrina. And so the website name is at fullpotential.com.au. So at fullpotential.com.au. So anyone that's listening to this as a podcast and you're only hearing it, you will get to that website, and soon over the next few days, Katrina will have it embedded with a link where you can click on it and buy now, and get a signed copy from her. But yeah, and she just told me also as we were jumping on the interview that she will be producing an audio book version of it in due course. So just keep an eye out, follow Katrina on her socials, and connect through the website, so that you can get more information. Any final favorite quote you might like to share, a final word of wisdom?
I think the main thing for people to understand is that in the book, because it's so interactive, you get to write in it. But if you buy the book, you also get a copy of the ebook as well, which has the color illustrations. And if people don't want to write in the book, because some people want to keep it pristine, then you can just print out the ebook that you get as part of it. You'll get that free. Then you can print that out and you can still do the narrative therapy, journaling, and the mindful coloring in, and you don't have to do it in the book if you don't want to. So that's for all that was something I got back as feedback from some of the audience was that they didn't want to write in the book. And I was like, well, that's not the, you need to be
I used
journaling.
to be that way, but no longer. Now I like to highlight and make a mess of the book. I feel like it gets
Same,
loved
same.
and used.
But I want to make it as I want to make it available for everybody's needs. So that's why the ebook is part of it as well. And then the audible will be next.
Beautiful. Well, congratulations. I couldn't be prouder. I look forward to seeing you a lot more. I mean, you and I are going to be, working on stuff and building out hopefully the online course and bits and pieces over the coming months and years. And congratulations. Go and get that book, guys. You heard such simple strategies. At the very least, take the three that you got here today and start bringing awareness and practice them. And one day they just become such ingrained things. I no longer ever say no problems, no worries, no drama. Those are like almost I have to think, what were those words? So reprogramming ourselves. Thank you, and have an awesome day, guys. Go and smash it out. Bye.